Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already.
Broadcasting from the Lush But Not Lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 792, The Autumn Guy.
What guy?
The Autumn Guy.
The Autumn Guy. Oh, jeez.
Very seasonal.
Wow. Here.
Well, it's been, for a May show.
Yes. Well, I should say, so it's been a while since Orlando's has been on, and so I don't think I was doing this back at the time, but basically every week now I get the title of the movie wrong.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was natural at first. He just started getting the title wrong. Yes. And then to cover
that
up.
Well, it was the damn Fast and Furious movies, because it was like The Fast and The Furious, and then the next one is like The Fast and Furious, and then Fast and the Furious, and then Fast and Furious. It was like they kept playing the games with where the
Furiously
went.
Fast.
Yeah,
and then they made a movie called The Fate of the Furious that was the eighth one, but they spelled the fate out instead of putting it F8.
Right.
It was and so then the next weird. One was called F9, but they didn't call the fate the F8 of the Furious. It's just weird.
It's but. Yeah, the titling on that is weird and almost as bad as Bad Boys for Life is
the third movie.
Yeah. I was like, why would you not just sit on
take
that title
of that for a couple of years?
For the next one, I think they thought that they were never going to get a fourth one.
Or they could have did like a Lethal Weapon 3 situation and just added another character to it and just call it 3 Bad Boys. I don't know. Like, marketing genius.
Yeah.
That's why I'm sitting here now.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And of course,
Orlandez. It's good to be back.
It is good to have you back. For a long time, you could because your job conflicted.
Yes. Yeah. I was at Vintage Vinyl for 14 years. And my weekends were quite booked. And now doing promotions for the good old Point, 105.7 The Point and 101 ESPN. Having a 9-to-5 at a office job, it helps things immensely, like having a social life again and having weekends free to do whatever I wish and hang out with awesome like-minded guys like yourself and my girlfriend and
they're
talk
not,
movies.
They're it's not great. Making you go to remotes and hand out Surge
Absolutely
Cola?
Not. No, I am not a monster. No, thank you.
I'm showing
I
my
have
age.
Enough energy that for my own. Yes, but I do remember Surge. Surge was great.
That's what I had to do when I worked there.
Ooh.
Was do the remotes and here's some Hawaiian Punch or Surge. Whatever Surge was.
Uh-huh. Here's some Mountain Dew Live Wire or something. Here's some... Keep you jacked up.
Crystal Pepsi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh boy.
That was.
Don't you have one of those around here?
No, I have the Pepsi from Back to the Future. Yeah. It's upstairs.
Oh, what, nice.
Okay. What Pepsi was that? Wasn't that Crystal Pepsi or was it called
no,
Pepsi
it was,
Clear?
What did they
was
call
that? Pepsi
that?
Free because he wanted
because he asked for because there was a product called Pepsi Free at the time. And
you got to pay for it, kid.
Yeah. And so, like, that's a joke that's kind of lost to time because there was actually, they were trying their own diet. They were trying to, like, rebrand diet soda because they found a lot of people wanted diet soda, but it was kind of girly to ask for a diet soda. So they were trying to man it up.
Let's put a man, like, manly phrase on this or something. Yeah. Manly feel onto it.
And so, and it did not last very long, and then it went away. You know, I was thinking about Back to the Future the other day, and there's the scene in there when he gets hit by the car, and he's having dinner with his grandparents, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And they're watching an episode of The Honeymooners. And he's like, oh, this is a good one. I've seen this one before. It's a rerun. And they're all like, what's a rerun? Right? And I was like, you know, in 30 years, that joke's not going to make sense to people.
Oh, wow. Because no one watches TV.
We won't have reruns.
Well, like, and everything now is like, you know, you get it streamed immediately. All the episodes are out. Like, I've seen Stranger Things before, but my girlfriend's never seen it. Yeah. And now we have the luxury of, like, we're in the middle of season two now. So it's not like you have to necessarily. And when season five comes out, it'll all be there.
Yeah. Right.
You can binge everything all in one day. I never thought about that.
Yeah,
before.
But they're like, the concept of a rerun will be lost to time. It will make no sense to people.
I was even thinking about video stores. Like, kids that are growing up now are just being born. I mean, they're never even going to understand that you went to a video store.
Yeah.
Since it's all on demand. Like, you went and rented a video. They're not even going to understand buying it.
Show the difference in age, though. It's like, they'll never understand the idea of going to a video store, but you'll never understand what a leap forward that was.
Yeah.
Like, because I remember the times before video stores. And so when the video store opened up, like, that was just like
you mind can buy blowing. A movie. And,
especially walking in and being like, I could rent like any movie in the world. And looking back, they probably had like 700 movies.
Which is just insane, though, right? For go from like nothing was on demand or nothing was rentable to 700.
I will also say I kind of miss, like, oh my god, they're showing Casablanca tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? I know Reedy watches movies like that still. You know, when something comes on TV, he still has cable, and he'll stop and watch a movie when they just show it to you, because it takes the choice out of it. It takes the having to, oh, there's too many options.
Right.
It's like, oh, that's what they're showing.
I kind of like to do that a bit with Pluto TV because they still have ads and such in between. But like every now and again, I'll just kind of flick through and see, and they'll have like Pluto TV crime films, and they'll be showing The Godfather again for, you know, however many hours. And it's like watching it on AMC kind of in a way.
Yeah.
And then they'll have like Shawshank Redemption or something. It's kind of like, you know, even though, yes, I own all these movies, but it's nice just to kind of, you know, catch a movie in the middle of it, a favorite in the middle of it that you already know, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was just something about, like, it was such an event when like, you know, the most recent James Bond movie finally found its way onto ABC Sunday night movie, and you always knew the movie was a big deal if it went late and pushed the start of the news back, right? Like, so, like, the
ending at 10:15.
Yeah, like Easter weekend, they would show the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
And the news would always start at like 10:45 instead of 10 o'clock.
Now, I was curious. I didn't check because, again, I don't have cable. But did they still do that on ABC? I meant to check that on Easter and see if...
I have no idea.
Yeah, you're talking to the wrong people for that one.
Well, I was telling, again, my girlfriend about it, and she's like, what, 28 or so? And first off, I said 10 Commandments, and she's like, what's that? I was like, you don't know Charlton Heston? Oh, my God. even though I'm 33 still, I'm just a 70-year-old man at heart. But, yeah, she was just like, I don't know. I was like, we used to watch that every Easter on ABC, and then you watch the Red Sea and everything apart. And, yeah, she looked at me like I was an alien.
So I guess before we dig in, I should do some shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeart, wherever you find. Can I say iHeart in front of you since you work for Hubbard? Is that okay?
I'll give it a pass.
Does that breach the contract?
Yeah.
But
I won't tell the big boss.
Okay.
Do you have a streaming platform?
Does Hubbard?
Yeah.
No, we're more so just like individual sites.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Just like, you know, WIL.com.
Yeah, sure. Gotcha. Okay. So,
yeah, that's about it.
So you can find us there while you're there. Maybe leave us a review and a rating. That's super helpful. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers while you're there. Like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Shares because we are hoping you will share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week, and I'll let you know right now, we're recording this episode a day early. So if you shared on like Saturday or later, I'm not forgetting you. It's just time is linear, and it hasn't happened for us yet. So, but we do still appreciate you. So anyway, people who were kind enough to share the show were Julian Jordan, Lane LeVanway, Chris Files, Richard Krotzer, Travis Tewitt, Gabriel Lugo, Heather Sachs, Edit Photo Gamer, David Rojas, The Real Pete, Cinema Recall, Colby Mack, Mike and Oscar, The Film Bee, Geek to Me, Radio, In Session Film, Binge Movies, Ronnie Castle, Matt Niglia, and Ryan Terry. So thank you very much. And then finally, don't forget, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, and we like you extra. And I know I said finally, but I also have to say, or yeah. Kevin will make me say it, we're available on YouTube. You can go to the YouTube, and you can watch these episodes, and isn't that fun?
Yeah, I think we gained 10 subscribers from the last episode, so thank you to the people that did go and subscribe. We're at, I believe, 457, so once we hit 500, we join the partner program, and we can get membership levels, or you can just throw a few bucks at the show or whatever to support it, and then the big 1,000 is ads, so aren't you looking forward to ads?
Aren't we all?
Make
especially
sure to
in my line of work, yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't promote it that way.
Yes.
That might be a smidge counterproductive. Yes. So anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in, shall we?
I had no idea this was a TV show until the promotion for the movie started.
Did you know it was a TV show? I did not. Oh, now that says something, because Orlandez, I know you just outed yourself with your age of 33, but like you are super knowledgeable about 70s, 80s.
70s television was just my bread and butter as
a
kid. I lived on USA Network.
We have many conversations in the Facebook Messenger about various 70s sitcoms.
Yes.
I still find it frustrating how much you dislike MASH,
of
all
things.
I knew
it was coming.
But
it might, soon. As I'm getting older now, I feel like I saw a clip of something. I was like, that was actually kind of funny.
I will say, if you watch it on Hulu,
It's
all on Hulu, okay. But it's better than all of it's on Hulu. They have remastered it, and because they shot it on film, they were able to remat it, so it fits on widescreen, and it's not weird like pan and scan zoom ins. It looks like this show looks
very
like
current.
They filmed it yesterday.
Wow.
It is insane to think that some of these episodes are over 50 years old. They look
now. I'm trying to
brand
remember
new.
I think
50 years old, that's really old, Tom.
I know, believe me. I know.
Now, was the first Star Trek kind of like that too? I feel like that was I don't know if it was like filmed on film, but I remember I used to have that on Blu-ray, and it looked like,
I know they did
really
a big
clear
remaster job on that one. I think if they shoot on film, they have that luxury, but some of them, I think the problem they run into is when they film them, they never anticipated widescreen TVs, and so they always cut them for the 4:3, the square TVs of the time. So, like, there might be crew members standing right to the side or something. Yeah,
yeah.
Where I think MASH had the luxury of they knew it would air overseas, and their TVs had slightly wide, not as wide as we have today, but so, like, they had more.
They were able to factor that in.
They had more allowance, and so, but, like, I mean, honestly, like, MASH is worth going and looking at just to see what a wonderful job they did of restoring it. And it's also kind of a shame because, to the best of my knowledge, the only way you can see that version of the show right now is on Hulu. It's never, like, if you want to buy MASH, like, on physical media, it's still just the old DVDs that are available.
They'll do a 4K release at some point if they spend all that money to remaster it.
Yeah, and I mean, they've done so much, you know, like, and there's other shows out there, too, that they've committed that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you, Dick Van Dyke Show. Go watch that on Prime, and that show looks, I mean, even though it's black and white, it looks like it could have been filmed yesterday.
I've seen a couple episodes.
Isn't it ridiculous
on there,
and, yeah, how crystal like clear HD it is?
And I mean, Dick Van Dyke always moved so, yeah, you know, wildly and such.
Well, you see that meme going around now where he's dancing to the rap song.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's great.
It's funny. But that show is another one of those where, yeah, if you film it on film, that's better than any digital format. It's, you know, it can be upsampled, and it's just like whatever resolution they can scan it to.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it is very telling. Like right now, we always have like one kind of classic sitcom in the mix, mm-hmm, and right now we're going through Barney Miller.
Oh, nice.
And which really holds up, and is one of the few shows I think it's 8 seasons. We just started the 7th season, and it's one of the few shows I can think of where it literally gets better every season.
On.
Yeah,
yeah.
But they shot it on video, and so and there's nothing you can do to fix video, mm-hmm, and so some of them look as it gets closer to the present day. I think right now it's like 1980, but. It looks better, but it's still
got that
still
kind
video,
of like, you know,
yeah,
not stiff feel, but you can tell,
right,
that's how it was formatted.
Yeah,
and that was what network was that?
That was on ABC.
Okay, I can remember if that was NBC or ABC.
Yeah, no, that was an ABC one. Okay. So yeah,
so it would seem the Fall Guy has been completely lost in the cultural zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Because I know old TV shows too, like even
right,
ones I haven't watched, I'm aware of them too.
It's so,
how many seasons did this have?
I believe it was 5.
Wow,
and it was a pretty big hit at first. Like the first 3 seasons all I think had like a 19 share on average.
Wow.
And then like I think they must have moved its time slot, and that's another thing that's kind of lost the time, the importance of time slots,
sure,
for
yes,
the success of a television show. And so and then like I think season 4 dropped to like a 7 share, and then they gave it one more season and they were done with it.
Done.
But
was this also ABC?
Yes, this
that
was
makes sense.
Yeah,
I was thinking of like, yeah, what? Because Charlie's Angels, did that start on NBC and then?
No, it was always ABC.
That was always ABC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I think there was like a reboot that was on Fox, but the original classic Charlie's Angels was always
like, because I think about that, and then correct me if I'm wrong, but Incredible Hulk, was that also ABC?
Or Incredible Hulk was CBS.
That was CBS.
Yeah,
okay.
But like, Charlie's Angels was one of those Aaron Spelling shows, and almost,
yes,
all of those classic Aaron Spelling shows were on ABC. So like Fantasy Island, Love Boat,
mm-hmm,
Charlie's Angels, those were all ABC shows.
And the guy that created the show, The Fall Guy, was Glenn Larson, and his series included Alias Smith and Jones, Battlestar Galactica, Buck,
wow,
Rogers in the 25th Century, The Misadventures of Sheriff Lobo, Quincy M.E., The Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew Mysteries, BJ and the Bear.
I was going to say, I was like, how is BJ and the Bear not on there? Because Sheriff Lobo is a spinoff of,
yeah,
BJ and the Bear.
The Fall Guy, Magnum P.I., and Knight Rider. So
I was about to say Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So this guy had all these hits, and it's just interesting. And then when I go look at YouTube videos and people like watching interviews about this movie, there are so many people speaking fondly, oh, I loved the TV show when I was a kid. So it doesn't seem to be completely lost because people are excited and talking about it. But I find it so strange that I've never heard anyone mention this before this movie came out.
And
so,
I'll say my theater, I went to the Alamo to go see it,
yeah,
and it was a nice mixture of, you know, you can kind of see a little bit of an older crowd,
yeah,
you know. But
careful.
I'm sure folks like, yes, but I'm sure folks my age group as well, like in the 30s, probably like, yeah, this is.
But the kids
nifty
are there for
Ryan Gosling
and
right,
Emily,
yeah, coming off of Barbie. And,
well, and it's so weird, just back to the history of the show, is that only season 1 has ever been released on DVD.
Wow.
Well, that's got to be the reason. There's no way to watch it.
Yeah, and then season 2, I think, was released on DVD, but only in Europe, which is
okay,
counterintuitive. This doesn't seem like a show Europeans would gravitate to.
Well,
it seems like a pretty American blue-collar kind of show.
But I wonder,
yeah,
if maybe it played in reruns for a long time, because one comment I did read was someone said, oh, the Germans loved cult whatever. Like, they said this was so important to the young Germans or something. So there must have been something.
So
you know, Hasselhoff was big in,
right,
Germany?
Yeah,
there,
yeah,
must have been something, because, I mean, I know I didn't read like a million comments, but just for someone to so specifically speak from experience and say it was important to Germans, this,
yeah,
character.
Yeah, because
so,
I don't really remember this airing in reruns all that much. Because also, you typically, it was an hour-long show, and most hour-long shows don't do well in syndication. People,
mm-hmm,
want the half-hour, yeah, sitcoms. And
like, I know Knight Rider. Yeah. I, you know, and I didn't grow up watching that or anything, but I know Knight Rider, never heard of this. And so that's just a strange thing that even created by the same creator, it's like it, there's just no fondness or memory
and with,
overall.
And with something that's not necessarily derived from, like, it wasn't like a Wonder Woman where that was already a comic in its own right, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I remember the first time I saw the trailer in a movie with my wife, and as it starts, and it, like, it starts to lay out its theme, and I was just like, well, that's just the Fall Guy. I'm like, they're ripping off the Fall Guy.
Because you would never in a million years go, they're adapting
this. And then when it gets to the end and it is the Fall Guy, and then I'm like, why?
Who
why
is this for?
Why are we officially out of IPs? Like, what are, like, how well, that, is how is this made the cut, you know?
I know, it's just,
and
it's,
so what I think it is the director of this movie is a stuntman, and I think,
I like the intro as well, too, beforehand.
Yeah. And I think he grew up watching the Fall Guy, and that's probably what made him fall in love with stunts, and then he became a stuntman himself, and moved up through the chain, and like, I want to make my version of the Fall Guy. Yeah. And so it's an IP that meant something to him. My guess is he was probably able to license it pretty cheaply, because otherwise they would have just done a fine replace on Colt Seavers and called it
something else.
You know, stunt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I'm sure it was not expensive, because, again, no one really remembers it these days. And if there's no, you know, no digital rights, they're not showing the show anywhere. It's like
there's one season on DVD. I mean, and
they're not making any money.
Warner or something. There was a time when they were putting out just one season of a classic TV show.
Right. And if it didn't sell enough, they were.
Welcome Back, Kotter was like that for the longest, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Barney Miller is weird in that you can get, there was a spinoff from Fish. And you can get, it only lasted two seasons, and you can get Fish season one, but not Fish season two.
Unless it's like Shout Factory or something who purchases it.
It's Shout Factory who put it out. Like, it's with Barney Miller, you get Fish season one. But,
oh, but you don't
But there's get. No, and they've never released season two.
Crazy.
I was like, that is so weird. Like, how could this have any value to anyone?
But that just goes to show, again, with a lot of these television shows, it's like if they don't, you know, now with DVD or, you know, then I guess I should say with DVD and such and purchasing, and it's pretty cheap to come across those rights, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's like
nothing.
It's a weird world of rights, and Tom and I talk all the time. We're talking about how it's so weird that this show is on streaming, but then this show isn't, and why are they holding out on this, or this has never been on DVD.
The Bob Newhart Show, the first three seasons are available on streaming, or at least to like purchase.
Now, not Newhart, but the Bob
the
Newhart,
Bob Newhart show where he's a psychologist in Chicago.
Yeah.
And like, you can buy seasons 1 through 3 on streaming, but you can't buy it. I think it lasted six
it's
seasons.
Good
you can't
to know because I have the complete series at home. So on DVD, I didn't know this.
Yeah. And so you can't get the other. And I'm like, it's not like. Like, normally it's music that screws up a show, right?
WKRP
is, a classic. There's a show that was very popular at the time called Ed that people are like, it will probably never be made available because the music license.
Wonder Years was another one. I remember that was a big deal when I found that.
Yeah, when they finally put that on a DVD. And do you know, is the streaming version of the Wonder Years?
I don't know. I just have that locker version
with
the complete series. I've never checked it to see if it was even on streaming.
Yeah, it is on streaming, but when I watched it years ago.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah,
it was jarring.
There was a network, a short-lived network a couple of years ago that did reruns, and it wasn't the Joe Cocker theme song. It was some other guy doing with a little help from my friends. I was like, what the hell is this?
He's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
But anyway, so like for this IP to make the cut, is very weird, but
when you put the right elements, again, you've got Gosling, who's just been hot, you know, just straight out, and Emily as well, Emily Blunt, coming from Oppenheimer.
Yeah, so I mean, the creatives, the people behind it, I mean, that all makes sense that they'd make this type of movie, but yeah, the property was a little bit of a head scratcher, so I had to kind of go look up and see what was this show about, and so apparently they were hunting down fugitives in the TV show.
He was basically a stuntman who, in between stunt gigs, because those are sporadic, he was a bounty hunter. And so, like, his day job was a bounty hunter.
And so I like how they kind of took some of the elements. It's not like he does this by career, but a stuntman going to solve a mystery to be right with crime and everything. So this is directed by David Leitch, and by now we know this director. He was a stuntman. I think he was Keanu Reeves' stuntman on The Matrix.
Hmm. Yeah.
And like he and Chad Stahelski together directed the first John Wick. He's uncredited, but they both co-directed it. It's known. And then they kind of split ways, and so now both of them do different stuff. But this director, David Leitch, is responsible for Atomic Blonde, Deadpool 2, Fast and Furious Hobbs and Shaw, Nobody, which was really good, mm-hmm. Bullet Train I never saw.
But, I haven't seen it either.
That's the Brad Pitt one on a train. Violent Night and The Fall Guy now is his most recent.
That's quite a run.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, I mean, nothing in there is, not to be dismissive, but nothing in there is like high art.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of
movies. They're all pretty. Yeah.
And a lot of really fun movies in there. Like, right? Like, it's, you know, it's funny. It's similar to The Fall Guy or Knight Rider in that, like, it's not the artsy thing critics typically gravitate towards, but like they're fun, mm-hmm. popular yeah, things.
That's what I got from this. I mean, it's like, you know, not really taking itself seriously. It's just a fun action.
I thought
time.
This was great.
Yeah.
I thought this movie was a lot of fun. Yeah. I haven't had this much fun at the movie theaters in a long time.
I really, really liked the action. I thought that it's so impressive. And when you get to the end credits and you see how it's all, because during the movie, I'm asking myself, well, I mean, I know this guy is a stunt guy,
right,
but mm-hmm. how much will they actually let him do? And there's big stars and a huge budget. Like, how much is actually practical? And then you see at the end credits that everything was done practical.
Yeah.
Stuff was just, you know, touched up with special effects. Like when Ryan Gosling's on fire, they added that in post, but the stuntman before it's Ryan Gosling mm-hmm. was on fire mm-hmm. and the car's going down the street. And cars
that
flipping,
so cool.
and even the guy dropping, I'm like, there's no way that fall that he does down that huge whatever, like he's falling, looks like off
that
a building,
deep, yeah,
is that deep? I'm like, there's no way they set that up. That's just him on a green screen. And no, a stunt guy on a wire, just like Ryan Gosling's character is supposed to be doing, fell all the way down. Like, that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
So I am so impressed with the technical feats and the practical effects. Loved them. I just thought the movie was really, really slow to get going. Once I got into the action, it was fun. The big action. But I was just like, I didn't think the writing was very good. I don't think David Leitch maybe understands comedy as well. Like, it just, I didn't think it was funny. It felt so forced. The funny banter between the two of them, especially, I'm like, this isn't
kind
funny.
Of like at the very beginning, I think they're sort of establishing their quote unquote relationship.
Yeah.
You know,
well, especially when they're bickering, when they come back together. And I just, to me at least, like, I think Ryan Gosling is very funny. I think Emily Blunt's a very talented actor. I don't necessarily like I didn't like her in Jungle Cruise. I don't think she's that funny. I mm-hmm. think she's a really good actor.
Yeah.
And I think the two of them probably improvised a ton of lines. And I don't think maybe David Leitch necessarily understands comedy well enough to like direct them in the right way or to pick the best parts. You know what I mean? I think he just let them go and they did their thing. And
depending, and it sounds a lot like what you're saying as well, Kevin, like depending on the actor too, because I was thinking about Hannah Waddingham coming from Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Like she's got some mm-hmm. of that comedic ability as well.
And she's very much like her character almost is the same character from Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Which is fine. Like she's funny in a, like a serious way, but is the funny little quirks to her. And mm-hmm. I thought she was fine because she's kind of just doing the same thing. But
right.
I just didn't like that part as much. Like I will tell you, the third act of this movie is bonkers. And I was having so much fun with it, and it made me leave the movie feeling a lot better about it, you know, because that third act is so freaking good.
I like the rom-com stuff. I think if this movie becomes a big hit, that's what's going to make it a big hit.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes this not a boy movie, mm-hmm. quote unquote, is that it's checking both boxes.
Yeah.
If a couple goes to this movie, they're both going to leave happy.
Yeah.
And I really like that stuff. I was really kind of caught off guard by how much screen time it possessed.
Well, that's the other thing too, is this movie felt really long. I don't think it needed to be 2 hours. This feels like the perfect 90-minute movie. And so at the time where I felt like it should kind of be wrapping up is where they were kind of just ramping up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought if we could have got there a little quicker maybe, but I felt the length of this one a little bit.
Yeah, I did not. Yeah. I thought this thing just worked. Yeah. I really dug it. And I think, 2 hours, I think 90 would be too short, but I think like an hour 45, an hour 50 would have been the sweet spot. But yeah, like I was really, I really dug
like
it.
Like that whole thing when he's with the valet, like, did you think that interaction was funny? I just felt like these scenes were so, I didn't even hear anyone in the theater thinking it was that funny. Gosling's kind of doing his thing and like supposed to be like, you know, kind of being a smart ass or whatever. And the guy, the valet, I'm like, this isn't funny. Just cut this out. I didn't need any of that.
Yeah,
10
I
minutes
agree.
Right there. Boom. Who cares? He's working as a valet. Just say it, show it, whatever. But like some of these things just went on and on. I'm like,
but like the part with the car where he's doing the donuts and everything.
I mean, that's funny. Show him he's a valet. Yeah. He gets the call and then he does that. But you know what I mean? There were parts like that where you could tell there was probably a lot of improv. And Ryan Gosling is hilarious. Crazy Stupid Love. I've said it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always said, or since we started this show, I've always been like, it's the best rom-com of the last 10 years.
Yes.
That's probably the best rom-com of the last 15 years. You know, I mean, it is one of the best and solidified itself there. And he is hilarious. And then he's great as Ken. So I love him in all these movies. But so it's not him clearly because he's very funny, but like I don't, some people, IGN said this is the funniest movie he's ever done, and I can't get on board with that. Like,
yeah, I don't know that I'd go that far.
He's great, but to say this is his funniest yet, I don't know. I wasn't feeling
it. And just a bit like very versatile too. I mean, if you just look at his track record, I mean, yeah, like there's Barbie and all the other stuff, but just go back to the last like 15 or so odd years, Lars and the Real Girl, Place Beyond the Pines, Drive, you know, he's very versatile with that. And it's so funny because there were some elements in here where I was getting some Drive kind of type.
He's a stuntman in Drive.
Yeah, right.
Drive is one of my favorite movies of all
time.
You know? And so, he's great in that. You know, I was thinking of his comedy stuff, but you're right. He has plenty of serious stuff. I kind of miss that. I hope he'll go back and do some serious stuff because, I mean, I know this is what he's really famous for and he's making the big movies with the comedy stuff and he's great. But I love his range. I love that he can do all this stuff. So, but I had fun with the movie. It is fun, but there were parts where I just thought the writing
maybe had some just cutting room for.
Yeah, and I just think
stuff.
The writing wasn't that strong. If you had this movie with these great stunts and action, and maybe the comedy or the writing was just a little bit better, a little tighter for sure. But I had fun with it certainly. And that, like I said, that third act. I mean, when they're filming the movie within the movie type thing. And as someone that likes movies and loves movies, you know, and talks movies and lives movies, it's fun to see the behind the scenes stuff. I did enjoy a lot of them setting things up. And I wonder how people that don't go to the movies that often, like if this is their one of three movies they see this year, I wonder what they think of all that walking around and set the pyrotechnics and do the, you know, I wonder what they think of all that.
It's very much, I got the feel of a movie's movie.
What's your girlfriend think? The movie? Like, does she dig the movie within the movie type stuff?
I mean, with her, it's kind of like she's, I don't know if she's as obsessed as I am with film, but there were some elements of it she enjoyed. She thought, again, like lengthwise, it could have been a little bit more shortened. But yeah, it was, I think I was kind of getting into it a little bit more than her.
Yeah.
And especially with, I was going to say, speaking of the movie's movie, but like a lot of the allusions to things, because it's like, what is it, him and Winston Duke's character? Yeah. They're all,
I love Winston Duke. He's great.
I forget all of the movies they reference, but it's like The Last of the Mohicans. And
love that. Yeah.
Like there's one other part where he's talking
about Fast and Furious.
And then the other part where he's talking about Hill. And I forget her name. Is it not Jody, Emily Blunt's character?
Was it? I thought it was Jody.
I think it is.
Yeah.
But like she's like, you're getting your Julia Roberts films mixed up.
Oh, when he's talking. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're doing the split screen thing or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's some things in that where I thought was pretty cool where they were doing that and just showing like the different, just kind of how film works and the filmmaking elements. Yeah.
I will say this. I went to see it with Crystal and when the credits started, I really had to pee. So I ran out to pee.
Oh, you didn't watch the credits?
Well, I came back in for the very
long
end.
Enough.
Yeah. And so it was, I was like, I told her, I'm like, I'm going to go hit the bathroom and I'll be back. And or I'm like, I'll meet you in the hall. And I got done and she's not in the hallway. And so, and I could hear the music still playing. So I walked back in and I watched like the last, caught the very end of it. And, but she had not left during the credits, she hates the mid credit, post credit stuff. She hates them so much. And so for
Marvel.
Yeah. For her to sit there through all of them says a lot. She was oh my God, it was so fun.
I think the best credit scenes are the ones where it's either outtakes, because I grew up watching all the Jackie Chan stuff when they would show the
Smoking
outtakes.
The Bandit.
So it's the bloopers.
Another movie directed by a stuntman.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Hal Needham.
Just one or like how many of those? What's Smokey and the Bandit.
Did he direct?
I know he directed one and two. I don't remember if he did. I think he did three, but then he also directed Hooper and Stroke Race.
Well, Burt, yeah.
But he was Burt Reynolds' stuntman.
He was Burt Reynolds' stuntman, and he was like, hey, I wrote this movie, and it's like a low-budget thing, and I was wondering if you could give it to somebody.
Yeah, let's do it.
And then he was like, yeah, I'm gonna do that.
I'm going to be starring this.
He's like, I hired Jerry Reed to play the Bandit, and he's like, okay, so we're going to make this, and I just tripled your budget, and Jerry Reed will not be the Bandit.
But, yeah, I think this is a really fun premise. I really love the idea of this. So, I mean, again, it takes all place during the movies, and we love movies, so I think that's fantastic. But so the star of the movie that they're making, Tom Ryder, I believe, is played by Aaron Taylor Johnson, who that was one of the biggest surprises for me. First of all, I'm like, I did not know Aaron Taylor Johnson was in this movie. And then when I see he's disappeared, I'm like, oh, he's not really in much of this movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. You see him in the very beginning while they're going through and setting up a shot. And I will say, I thought this is one of the coolest opening credit scenes ever, to where they're making a movie and then they start showing the script, but it shows like Ryan Gosling does this, and it's showing what the real actors are doing with their names as the opening credits. Mm-hmm. I love that. I've never seen that. Cool. And again, because this is such a specific, like making a movie within the movie, you know, not many movies could do it like this. And I just love that they were talking about what Ryan Gosling was doing and showing his name, what Emily Blunt was doing and all that. But Tom Ryder, played by Aaron Taylor Johnson, is the star of these big action movies. And Ryan Gosling is, and what's his character's name? Colt Seavers, which is the same character from the Fall Guy TV show. That's Lee Majors played him.
Yes.
Correct? So
there's even a little sick. Lee Majors is also his other famous role is the $6 Million Man. Did you catch there was a little $6 Million Man nod in this?
I didn't know.
When they're at the apartment with Winston Duke and they're having that fight, he pushes some guy, and when he pushes him, the audio goes tick, 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 the way
that's
that,
funny.
Which I did not catch
which
that.
Is the noise it always made when the $6 Million Man would like jump act over something. Yeah. Yeah. And I was just like, I was like, but that's a different Lee Majors show. But yeah.
But yeah, but it's again, a nice little homage. Because that's what he was really famous for. And then I guess when he did this show, if you watched it, you're like, oh yeah, you know, this. But to me, when I think Lee Majors, that's immediate. That's where he's from, right? Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think The Fall Guy was probably a bigger show.
You think?
It was. Wow. I mean, it lasted 5 seasons. I don't think The $6 Million Man lasted
that long.
And
when was this, like late 70s? Was this 80s?
This is 80s. So this is like, I think like
81 to 86.
Yeah, there we go.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So, but anyway, so Tom Ryder is the star of this movie. Colt Seavers is his stuntman. And when they're going to set up this shot in the beginning of this isn't the big movie that he disappears during, but he's on a different project. And Emily Blunt's character, Jody, is she the stunt coordinator on this movie or camera,
she's a camera
operator?
Camera person.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's working on the film, and they have this relationship during the filming. And Colt goes to set up a shot, and it's this really cool tracking shot of him walking through and making sure all the technical stuff is ready and the safety and all that. And he's at the top of this building, and he ends up falling off the back of it, and he breaks his back because, you know, some restraint didn't catch him. You know, it was, you know, he didn't die. Obviously, he was saved a little bit, but it went too fast, and he ends up hurting his back.
Unpredicted.
Yeah, so and that's part of the mystery of the movie. You know, we find out that there's more at play here than just an accident. But anyway, so he hangs it up. He ends up going to just off the grid after he heals. He ends up being a valet parking.
Like a year and a half?
It's
18
months.
Like
18 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's just, you know, valet parking and not wanting anything to do with the stunt industry. But then he gets this call from Hannah Wadding.
Gail
is the producer of this movie. It says, hey, you're going to want to be on my next movie. It's going to be big. And he's like, I'm done with this, whatever. And she's like, but I haven't told you who the director is. It's Jody. And all of a sudden he perks up. And this is kind of doing a montage. It's like him just hanging around his house, doing valet parking. And so this phone call is happening during all these parts. But you see him perk up when he gets that news, and then that's when he's at valet parking. He gets a D-bag that I guess this guy, what he worked, he was an actor in one of the movies or something,
former guy,
and he's like, oh, Fall actor. Guy, are you, you know, whatever, park my car, don't scratch
it. Like the one line he says, what is it, he's like yeah, I thought you were dead, man. And he's like, no, I wish it was.
Yeah, like, he's very, yeah, I mean, he's very depressed. Yeah. Obviously, he's this big stuntman and left his job, left his relationship that he really cared about her. And we find out, like, he just couldn't face his failure, you know, that he blamed himself, I guess, during all this, and obviously not in a very good place. But so then that's the scene where he gets the guy's car, you know, he's like, don't scratch it or whatever, and he looks at the
wheelies in the park.
Yeah, he gets the keys and he just like starts like feeling the car and like, you know, and yeah, and the guy's like, oh my god. And then he doesn't he say it's a rental. That I thought was kind of funny, because like, here's this rich guy and he's like, don't scratch my nice fancy like, car.
This isn't even yours.
No, you're renting it because you're a phony. And anyway, but so he goes on set to the movie. And at first I thought, well, this is very strange, because like, she doesn't care that the stuntman she handpicked is on set and she's just walking around or whatever. Well, come to find out, Gail set this up and didn't tell her. She just said that to get Colt on set. And so anyway, so she's like, who did this? What is this? And after this stunt, and so he's left like, oh, well, crap, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. And basically there's no time left. This production is already having trouble. You know, you see pyrotechnics going off when they're not supposed to. Like, this is her first film. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot riding on this. Things are going wrong. They have a pretty good crew, but still there's just goofy stuff happening. And so basically they're like, there's no one else. And so she's kind of stuck with him on this movie.
And there's still also the year and a half where he didn't speak to her. And
That's where the real tension comes in. I mean, he's good at his job, and it doesn't have to do with the accident. It's just that he left and didn't say anything. And they were, you know, it was more than just a fling. They really cared about each other. And then he didn't call after the accident. He moved away and didn't say anything. And so there's a lot of tension there on set. And so the comedy of that comes into, like, he's set on fire. We should say this movie that Tom Ryder's doing is this space epic where they're at cowboy war with all these aliens. Thing. He's a space cowboy. Uh-huh. And anyway, so they're during this battle.
Didn't they make that movie already with
Cowboys
Daniel
versus
Craig?
Aliens? Yeah. Okay. And Harrison Ford? Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah, that was Jon Favreau, too. Which was surprising. But yeah, that was real bad. But anyway, he gets set on fire, and then he has to like get flung into a wall. And so the comedy of that is like, after one, she's like, "We need it again." There was, you know, or in the second
she's
time, she's
giving
like,
context to the character, but it's more derived.
Well,
from...
and that's a funny premise, I thought too, where the whole crew is standing around. I love the idea that you've got all this serious stuff happening, and they keep cutting to these aliens in these goofy costumes. And when the guy chimes in, now that was one
that
of the funniest parts.
Great.
When the guy like raises his hand, he's like, "I want to talk." And
I was in love with my wife's sister.
Yeah, with his vocoder, so his voice has changed.
I like when he's like, "Do the aliens ever have these conversations in private?"
Yeah.
No, they do not.
Yeah, and like that's the kind of thing too. Like you guys are saying with that comedic, you know. Part within there that's kind of intertwined with everything else in the action. I did dig that.
I like those little under delivered lines. Those are my favorites, when they just the throwaway lines. Those are funnier to me. I just think that there was a lot of improv-ing going on, and to me it didn't seem to mesh as well. But all those little funny things and the visual gags I really dug. But anyway, so the action really picks up when we find out Gail comes to Colt and says, "Hey, Tom is missing. He hasn't been on set in days." And like, they've talked about it. We're like, Tom didn't show up again. And so everyone thinks, oh, he's just on some bender. So no one really knows what happens. It's kind of like, you're wondering, did he get kidnapped? As the audience, we're like, we have no idea what's going on with this guy, but no one's heard from him. They can't find him. And I'm sure in the trailers you've seen where he's like, "Why do you want me to go?" And she's like, "You're the stuntman. No one's going to notice that you're gone." And he's like, "Thanks."
And also, doesn't she say, like, "I can't go to the police. This film's already over budget and the studio's going to be on me."
Well, with all the things that are going wrong and it's her first film, like, if there's a criminal matter and they're investigating
it's easy
and
for
it
them to
shut
wrap
down,
it up and just say,
they're never
going to shut it down.
Yeah, there's no point to keep. And that's Jody's.
Must
first.
Be a Warner Brothers movie.
Yeah. Bingo. So, and then, of course, he still cares about Jody and he's like, he can't do that to her. He's going to do everything that he can in order to help her out. So he goes on this, and this is the part I really like. He goes on this. I mean, he's like a detective, you know. I mean, he's going trying to solve this crime, this disappearance. And there's a lot of action along the way. One thing I thought was kind of interesting, and I don't mind the silliness and the goofiness and all that, but I thought it was a little strange that his character's a stuntman, and then the first thing he does is goes to like Tom's pad, you know, he's got some like loft up somewhere, and then someone attacks him with a sword, and like he's just so cool and acting like, well, this is totally normal, like he's not in a movie doing stunts, he's
right.
like this is being a life. Badass dodging swords and stuff, and I'm like, there is just something weird about the like coolness and kind of like, I think he should have been a little bit of more fish out of water, right? A little more John McClane than, than I don't know, Clint Eastwood or Cool Guy.
Going back to another film of his, which I was here for, like kind of a lot like his character was in The Nice Guys.
Yeah.
He was very...
Now like, that is a freaking hilarious movie because Shane Black. And that's the thing. So,
but he was very just unexpected and like, you know, Russell Crowe was kind of more so the badass and he was just like, what's in Ryan Gosling's? What's going on?
Right,
on edge.
And so I don't, he can be cool and whatever, but like, I would have liked a little bit of him being more like, holy crap. Like, it's just, he's not a detective. He's not, you know, it was just weird that he was a stuntman to super badass. Nothing fazed this guy. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And so I thought the writing again of the character was just a little strange, but it was funny, you know. So this girl comes at him with a samurai sword and is swinging it all around, and then when it hits into the wall and just she pulls wobbles. The sheath off, and he's like, is this a prop sword? And she's like, yes, I'm a very good actress. And come to find out, she's like the lead actor on this movie.
So,
like,
what was it called again? Metal Storm?
Metal Storm.
Metal Storm.
Yeah, yeah. Metal Storm. Which I feel like is a video game. I think there's a video game called Metal Storm.
That
I think it's like a mech game or something. But I kept hearing that title. Like, I know I've heard that somewhere. But anyway, but she come to find out that like, she's like, I don't know, Tom's been gone. He goes to this club. And then you really get into like, The physical comedy, Ryan Gosling.
It is a video game. It's also a movie, Metal Storm, The Destruction of Jared Sin, 1983 movie.
Okay.
I wonder if that's another maybe nod or something.
I wonder,
I know. I kind of wonder, too.
Bought the rights to that one, too.
Another one no one's heard of. Mm-hmm. It's cheap to know. But so, again, the physical comedy stuff, Ryan Gosling is so good at this stuff.
Yeah.
So they're like, they're never going to let you into this club looking like you look. And then she's like a poor or something. She's basically saying, like, looking down on the stunt man like he's, you know. So he dresses up in this ridiculous, like, when you think of fashion, you know, obviously a commentary on the, like, high fashion. Kind of like the shirt I sent Tom that was $300 that had like two words on it.
Yeah, it's, it was like, that shirt from the from Challengers that says "I told you."
Yeah,
and it was
$300.
Like, it was just like a gray graphic tee with like block writing on it, and it was $330.
Welcome to 2024.
Yeah. That's designer fashion for you. But anyway, so it's obviously so ridiculous, but it's like the cool, trendy outfit for a Hollywood star. So he's in this like neon green jumpsuit,
like skull cap and coat.
But what I think is so great about the premise of this movie, again, is like, if he's trying to infiltrate stuff, it's like he's his stuntman. He does look like him. I just think that's a great, like, why would you send this random stuntman to go solve this crime or whatever? But it really works within the context of the story.
So apparently the movie Metal Storm that they're making shares the same tagline of the actual
of the old movie?
Of the 1983 movie Metal Storm.
No way.
Not coincidental.
So it's a remake of...
I'm looking at the poster from the Metal Storm 3D, and it says, it's high noon at the end of the universe.
So they're remaking a movie like this is a remake of a TV show. That's see, that's pretty good.
Okay, respect.
Respect. That's a good one. And I will say again, like, even though I didn't like all the comedy and the writing in the movie, I have the utmost respect for the stunt work and the
absolutely.
I mean, seriously, this has some of the coolest stunts. You don't get movies like this anymore, and I know that makes me sound a million years old, but everything is CG now.
Everything is on green screen. You make a good point, because something about this was very nostalgic for me, and I think that's why I loved it so much.
It had a very 80s movie vibe to me.
Yeah. Like, I loved these kind of movies when I was a kid, you know, just real carefree, and like I said, a little bit of the comedic, you know, elements within it. Yeah, I felt very nostalgic about this movie.
But this is a lost art. Practical stunts is a lost art, and there's only a few people keeping it alive. And we have people that in big CG Marvel movies that most of those aren't CG, but we talk about James Gunn, and you know, now we'll see how that translates in DC. But you watch the behind the scenes of Guardians, and people are up on wires, and they're doing all this stuff with the actual actors, not even stunt people. Mm-hmm. He tries to get them to do as much stuff as they can safely do, but studios just, it's the time, it's the setup, it's the, you know, the danger of it. They just don't do this anymore. And to see that so many stunts, like, that's why the end credits were so cool, because you watch the movie and you're like, oh, I don't know, did they do
look
that?
I had to pee, stop shaming me.
but they go from the beginning of the movie to the end, and I'll tell you what, basically every action scene was practical, and it was unbelievable. I mean, like, when they're on the street, when later on, when they're, the garbage truck is dragging something behind them, I'm like, no way, obviously he's on a green screen, they're just filming stock footage and putting them on a green screen. And so obviously Gosling wasn't doing all the stunts like that, but his stuntman was. Mm-hmm. And really, they're driving a garbage truck down the streets, flinging it around corners. You saw the behind the scenes.
And then in the credits, like, isn't it the truck that you see? Not the garbage truck, but the regular truck that he's driving. You see that go into other vehicles.
And
like,
the car's turning. And so that's where the respect. I mean, this movie, the fact that he made a movie like this in modern times with this much of a budget and they let him destroy things and, mm-hmm. and put people in these situations, hats off to him. But he goes to the club and basically they're trying to find Tom Ryder's drug dealer.
Yes.
And so he's infiltrating and then this guy is like, oh, the stuntman, which I thought was kind of funny that everyone's like, oh, is that Tom Ryder? But apparently the drug dealer knew the stuntman was coming.
Yeah.
There was no like call or setup for that. So I was a little confused.
There were some holes in that.
He infiltrated, but then he's like, oh, yeah, the stuntman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, that's kind of weird. But anyway, but he basically
gets him a drink.
Yeah, so this was maybe my favorite part of the movie because it was weird and so stylized. Like, mm-hmm. again, I respect and liked a lot of the stunts. But what did they say? They said something about what you see. I don't know. It felt like a cartoon, though. I felt like they mentioned Looney Tunes. They mentioned some kind of thing. But anyway, the drug dealer ends up spiking his drink. We find out that there's more behind the scenes that were about to be revealed with Tom Ryder and what's going on, and there's people in on this stuff. And so they end up spiking his drink, and everything goes to this, like,
unicorn
cartoony thing. Well, yeah, and that is really funny. But I just love the stylized nature like this. So Ryan Gosling is hitting these guys with bottles, all the bodyguards and the other drug dealers and everything. And like when he hits them, there's like flashes and like these cartoon sparks and everything. And I don't know, I thought it was a really interesting, it reminded me of Scott Pilgrim,
yes,
that movie.
Yes.
You've seen that one, haven't you?
Oh yeah.
So that's like a comic book video game type movie, and every time there's a hit and they're like points are going up, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. I just really liked it. I thought it was fun, and it's something I didn't expect, because
I liked how the unicorn follows him around for the next couple scenes.
Well, that's a great line where when he's like, finally he's got the drug dealer, he catches him, there's a big chase and all this, which again, another really good action scene, car chase scene. But when he finally gets to the guy, he's like, how long will this last? And he goes, when you stop seeing unicorns, it will be over. And
pans, so
and then it pans and there's a unicorn right there. And you know, some movies would just leave it at that, or maybe you see him, but like they keep panning over to a unicorn in these unexpected times, like it just follows. And I thought that was really funny, where you go to the next scene and you know he's still kind of high on this stuff, mm-hmm. because there's a unicorn. That was a really good scene. But so now he goes to a hotel, because
the drug dealer
says, you're going to go to the hotel and ask for a fruit platter.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I forget the guy's name, the hotel.
Kevin. I was with my son and he looks over at me, you know, whenever there's my whenever you get a Kevin in the scene, like he'll look
it's the Leonardo DiCaprio Once Upon a Time in Hollywood
is. And I did, and again,
the only time Kevin will ever be compared to Leonardo DiCaprio. There
you go. Never know. There's still time.
He is working on that Sinatra Scorsese flick, I heard.
So yeah,
I don't know.
That will be interesting to see, just because of the singing element of it. You know, but well.
Anyways, we'll get back to Leon the next episode.
Yeah.
Here for
So I did think this was kind of funny where he shows up and he asks for a fruit tray and it's not Kevin, it's someone else. Like, Kevin's on break. Okay, well, can I have a fruit tray? And he's like, okay, sure. But he's like, still seems to be kind of tweaking out.
And then he runs into Jody, mm-hmm. there too. Jody and Gail.
Yeah, and she's like, how's it going? And he's like all flustered and
you look
acting goofy.
Not well.
Yeah, so that ends up being pretty funny, and they have this little moment, and like he's still trying to say like, I'm sorry, and I'm happy to be back or whatever, and she just can't quite accept that, because again, mm-hmm. to her, it's been 18 months, and she still doesn't really want much to do with him, but you can see that like, the wheels are turning, like she's mad at him still, but the chemistry's there.
To backtrack
still
a little bit, I will say I thought the part in the truck was funny with the two of them where he's listening to Taylor Swift in the car.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's like, are you crying? And he's just like, no, you know, but just reminiscing. It's like a montage scene of all the time that they spent together.
Yeah.
And they kind of have a little bit of a moment there too.
That's true, because that is the first time you see from her perspective, where she gives a little smile.
She's like, drive me to my car. He's like,
that
sure.
Good.
Literally right.
I love little moments like that is so funny to me, because they play them straight, you know, mm-hmm. and that was
just
hilarious,
like banging them over the head with prop bottles. That was hilarious.
Yeah
I feel like that song was half the budget
Oh, yeah.
Which song was that again?
I don't know. I just know it was a Taylor Swift song. None, yeah. none of them are going to be cheap.
Of course, yeah. Of course.
I'm not too skilled on the Swiftian, but something. Yeah.
So whenever she gets out of the car to go to her car, she gives a little smile. So you can tell, like, there's still that spark there. Mm-hmm. Even though it's been 18 months and she's mad at him, they kind of hit it off. So we're seeing more and more that, like, she's kind of opening up, but she's still very guarded, still very mad at him. But anyway, Kevin comes back, and he's like, sir, were you looking for a fruit tray? And he's like, yes. He gives him a key card. He goes to the room. Another good physical comedy.
That was funny, too. Yeah.
Goes back, the card wasn't working, gives him the card again, it's still not working, he just kicks down the door, but he finds a body on ice. And so this is where it really ramps up, like, what the hell is going on here? At first, I thought it was Tom Ryder, but it's not, it's a stuntman, we come to find out. But he has no idea why this body's here. So basically, the rest of the movie is Tom Ryder's bodyguards that are also looking for him. Did they run into him earlier? I can't remember if this is the first time. Yeah, what were they doing? They were looking for him at the club, maybe. I feel like we were interested in that big redheaded guy somewhere earlier.
Yeah,
but
I think you're right.
They're looking for a cell phone. They're looking for his cell phone. Yes. Is like the main thing that they're after.
And also, when Ryan Gosling leaves that hotel, he's of course freaked out because he just saw this body. But then he looks up immediately and sees a camera, and he's just like, "Oh god!"
Oh, yeah.
He just covers himself.
That's funny when that comes back on the news. Mm-hmm. And the prime suspect is stuntman Cole Sievers, and you see him leave and then cover his face like they couldn't stop the video, even though he already
gently walks by like backwards.
Well, he backs out of it. Like, I don't know. Very.
And that's again where Ryan that versatility, man.
He has great physical comedy, right? And for such a good looking guy and such a funny guy, but he's really got the physical comedy down.
He's a dancer.
Oh, that's true. I mean, we saw that in La La Land.
Well, also,
Mickey
didn't
Mouse
start
Club.
Mickey
Mouse
Club.
He's that generation of Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears. Yeah,
that's true. That's very true. But anyway, so he leaves. And so the rest of the movie is really the bodyguards. He's trying to find Tom Ryder. The bodyguards are after him. Come to find out, the big surprise of this movie is, I mean, just to jump ahead, unless there's anything else we need to touch on, is that Tom Ryder... We saw like a little glimpse of this was we found his phone back at his room, and we see that they're just like goofing around. It's him and his stuntman, but we don't see the whole video. Well, come to find out when we do see the whole video, what happened is he was messing around with his stuntman and he ends up kicking him, and the stuntman like falls back, but I think he hits his head on a
table
or something, and he's dead.
Well, and he's mad at the stuntman for saying that. He's like teasing him for like, oh, do you do your own stunts?
Yeah.
And like he's, you know, we see the level of his vanity.
Yeah, he's got this kind of inferiority
like a threat,
complex.
So to speak.
Yeah,
like he wants to be able to do it all, but no, he still needs a stuntman. And so, yeah, he takes it a little too far. He takes his anger out, kicks him, kills the stuntman. And so this whole thing in his disappearance is really a cover-up because the star of this movie killed his stuntman. And so what's really happening is Colt is being framed for the murder. So... Gail has really set this up. I mean, I'm just jumping ahead and spoiling it, is that now he's on the run, but also trying to clear his name. So we find out that, so he finds this assistant. Tom Ryder's, who's, she's from Everything Everywhere
All at Once. Yeah.
Yep, Stephanie.
It's HSU. I don't know how to say it.
Shu.
Yeah.
Shu? Okay.
Stephanie Shu. She, who is really great. So it was fun to see her pop up.
Did she get the... No,
she was nominated. She lost to Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah,
they were both nominated for the same movie. Yeah.
She's also on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh wow! Oh,
okay, yeah. I never watched that one.
Oh, it's good. And and she played Christine Canigula.
Oh, that's right.
In Broadway's Be More Chill. Because it's like whenever she pops up in a movie, I'm always like, oh, hey. Crystal and I went to see that, and we had front row seats. So like, I spent like 3 hours, like 4 feet from her. So whenever she pops up in anything, I'm like, oh, I've seen you in person.
Yeah, like, that's fun.
Yeah, especially when like you're that close. Yeah. Like, I mean, like honestly, like I think she was as close to us as you are right now. Like
That's
how tight those seats are and how right up on the stage you
were. I didn't know she was like a Broadway actress either at one point.
Yeah, and that's like the female lead in that show.
Wow, so that's a pretty dominant role.
Yeah.
It was good to see her in this.
Yeah, I like that because I love that movie. That was my favorite movie of the year. I'm glad it won and everything. And it's great to see these actors that aren't necessarily big names, but then to start showing up in big summer blockbuster movies, and I thought she was really good. So it was cool to see that take that leap. And
her character, she's walking the dogs, and
she's like just his assistant, so she's walking dogs, and
one of the dogs is
Jean-Claude.
His former, who I love.
Yeah, so Colt has worked with this dog on other movies, and this dog...
Speaking French to
him. Yeah, kind of has become another main character throughout the rest of the movie. And so they drop Jean-Claude, the dog, off at this, like, a dog park. But then the big redheaded guy, so that's been chasing him, Tom's main bodyguard, is trying to find the phone. I mean, really, so what they're trying to do is hunt down this phone and... to destroy it because it's evidence of this murder and cover it up. And so we don't know that at this time, but they go and try to get the phone from her, and they end up kidnapping her. I think she has already given Colt the phone at this point, but they don't know that. So he's got it. But then he takes Jean-Claude after she gets abducted, and there's this awesome, this is the scene with the garbage truck. So these guys show up in a garbage truck, take her, and then Colt goes on this huge chase. He's in this GM car that I thought was kind of funny. They're like, this is product placement. We have two of these.
Yeah.
Which it's great because it's like that is product placement in this movie.
Yes.
But they're using it as product placement in the movie. But he drives it throughout this whole real movie.
He drives a GMC pickup truck.
So that's a nice nod for sure.
Yeah.
I also liked at this point happening at the same time, because again, that relationship between Jody and why do I keep forgetting Ryan Gosling's character?
Colt.
They're you know, still having their like moment, but they're kind of getting a little bit more closer, and she invites him to karaoke.
Yeah.
And like the whole crew is out and they're doing their thing. And I think, does Gail come by and talks to Jody?
Yeah. Gail. Yeah.
Because that's where she comes by to say he left.
Yeah.
Because she has framed him and is trying to get him to leave the country. And she comes by to be like, oh, he's not coming to karaoke to try to drive a wedge in between. Yeah.
And Jody's just like, well, great, now he's left again. But but anyways, while all this stuff is happening, she's doing karaoke and it's Phil Collins, Against All Odds.
Yeah.
And it's just such a great kind of, I don't know.
And then the garbage truck, as he's on top of it fighting guys, is driving past the karaoke place, which I love that. But this scene is really cool. It's a really great scene with the car. You know, he's driving this truck and they're doing a chase and jumping off ramps and everything. And then they did something which I've never seen. I mean, this seems so obvious, and I'm sure someone's done it before, but he puts it on cruise control. Like, you know, usually they put a brick on the pedal or something.
Yeah.
I just thought it was like, it made sense. Like that could really happen. I mean, you know, the car, if it's aligned well, will drive straight. Mm-hmm. He puts it in cruise control. The front window's already been shattered out because, I don't know, they're shooting, they're hitting stuff, whatever. There's no front windshield. So he puts it on cruise control, jumps out through the front, and then he ends up like jumping onto the garbage truck. And it's just this big knockdown, throwdown fight. Meanwhile, the assistant is in the front seat and she's actually kicking ass too, which never really explained, but it's just fun action movie stuff. She's kicking him and ends up like holding the handle and like kicking him out the door.
Jean-Claude's also helping by testicles of all these.
Command that he gives, like they keep using over and over, is to go bite him in the nuts. So that is very funny because I think he's like, Jean-Claude, help, and he comes along and bites the redhead guy as he's fighting on the back of the garbage truck. But anyway, so that's a great chase scene. Once he gets done with that, he runs back to karaoke. You know, and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, Jody. I'm late," and she's already gone. Of course, it's that they keep missing each other and all that. Where does it move from there? I'm trying to think.
From there, they, because they have the phone at that point, and they need to figure out how to get into it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure I don't mess anything. So, they go back to production. Okay, so basically now all of Tom Ryder's security guards know, because they go back to the apartment, and during that scene, you've got Winston Duke's character, who is the stunt coordinator on Metal Storm, and they're all fighting the security guards and everything.
And they want the phone.
And they want the phone back. And so now they know, you know, they know kind of who knows what's going on, and so they're trying to hunt down Winston Duke. But back at this place that's like on the water, they have this big fight, and Ryan Gosling ends up escaping on a boat, and there's a big boat chase scene again, a very cool scene. And he ends up, it looks like he crashes to his death on this, like, I don't know, this platform with oil or gas station or something, and it explodes, and it looks like he's dead, and Gail ends up calling Emily Blunt and being he's gone, and she's upset about that, but they carry on with the movie because it's her one chance, right? If this movie fails at any point, and Gail in the next scene even tries to be like, I'm gonna I'm going to take over. I'm going to finish filming and everything. And she's like, nope. Because come to find out, Ryan Gosling is alive. Of course, as we know, he's dressed up in that funny alien with the vocoder thing. And man, she kicks his ass. That was a pretty funny scene, I will say, back in the trailer when he shows up after everyone thinks he's dead.
He's an alien fit.
And I do like the comedy of that it's not just like, in a normal scene, she would hit him over the head, mm-hmm. and then he'd be like, it's me, and it would end.
Like, it goes on and on.
Jabs him in the leg with a pin.
It was crazy. She takes a blender and hits him over the head. She is just beating the crap out of him. Yeah, pen in the leg, all this stuff. But he eventually gives the thumbs up. And earlier, she acts like, I hate your stupid stuntman thumbs up thing. And then he later on says, like, oh, that's just a stuntman thing. And he's trying to, like, say that he cares about her. And, you know, I disappeared because whatever. You know, I was a failure. What, you know, I was scared of... disappointing her or whatnot, but so he gives a thumbs up and she knows, Colt, that's me, and he's like, nice job, you're like, I respect on the stunts that you were doing. But anyway, yeah, and then Gail tries to come in and get her out of there. She says, nope, I'm gonna finish the film. And so this is like the big third act of the film, which is just like this big throwdown craziness, because in the movie Metal Storm, it's the big climax of the movie. And in our movie, it's trying to clear Colt's name, because Tom Ryder is back on set to finish a few of these scenes. They've got
magically,
like,
well, comes back.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Once everything is taken care of, supposedly, he's back on set. And so they want to get a confession out of him. And so they orchestrate this plan where they're going to put a wire on Tom, and while he's filming a scene that he doesn't know is actually a big chase, they're like, we just need to get you on green screen, we're gonna put you up here, and you're
just
handcuff you, because the aliens have you in handcuffs in this scene. They kind of make this up,
raises
on the
stakes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so they put him on green screen, and then the green screen is pulled away. Colt comes into the truck, and then he takes off with him. And so he gets a confession out of him eventually. But meanwhile, they're doing all these stunts. They're going over hills. They're climbing on the side of things. The bad guys, his bodyguards, are chasing them. And then I thought what's really cool is Winston Duke and his stunt crew start orchestrating all these attacks, right? They're using stunts they put smoke screens up, and they've got all this pyro going off, and they're doing flips, like, as the trucks that are chasing them come by. They're doing like the stunt thing where they blow up and a truck flips over. They're flipping all the cars over. It's just really fun. And especially knowing they're all really doing it practically, and the chaos of they're making a movie and filming stuff while we're watching this movie about it. I really appreciated those layers, and it all looked really cool. But he eventually gets the confession out of Tom.
She finds the
guy that's recording.
Give me that.
Because this guy's like, I got it, right? Mm-hmm. Like the guy that's in on it with the crew and everything's like, I got it. And then Gail's like, give that to me. Holds him at gunpoint. She ends up escaping, gets into a helicopter. They flip the car after the confession, or the truck that Colt and Tom are in. And Tom ends up getting away and into the helicopter. And then I thought this was such a fun scene. So Jody pulls up on like a crane truck with a camera on the end of the crane, and she picks up Colt, and then Colt ends up like getting on the crane.
Oh yeah. I remember seeing some of this in the trailer too.
Yeah, like, I feel like I didn't know what was going on, but I saw him on a poster or something where he's on the
crane
truck
or something.
But I thought it was really fun. It was a really, really fun chase scene where they're now chasing down a helicopter, and he's on the end of this.
Get on.
Yeah, and he jumps and like holds onto the helicopter.
I think this is the closest we get, other than the mid-credit sequence, to fan service, because the opening credits for the Fall Guy always featured him jumping onto a helicopter,
onto
it.
That's cool. That makes sense why they include
this
that
in the
then.
Truck.
Almost again, like some John McClane type stuff.
Yeah, you know? This is just really fun. The stunt work, knowing that it's all practical, and even the guy falling off a helicopter. I don't know if you caught that, but a guy really fell off a helicopter onto a crash pad. The fact that they would do these kind of stunts nowadays, when people rely so heavily on green screen and CG. Yeah. And obviously, just like in the movie. Oh, another thing is, right when he gets to the movie, they're going to scan his face. And I liked the ongoing joke about Tom Cruise, because there were all these viral videos of Tom Cruise a year or two ago during like COVID. People were doing all these funny deepfake videos. And so I like that he mentioned, like, his idea of mapping someone's face is always, oh yeah, you put Tom Cruise in a bunch of these videos and make him say funny things. So that was kind of a funny.
Well, also, that was a part of the plan that Gail had originally too, was for that video, was they were going to put Colt's face on there to make it seem like he was the one who
So that's why they were really, I mean, they put it, they like presented as, oh, you're a stuntman, we're going to map you on Tom's face. Mm-hmm. But really, it was so that, yes, they look so similar, mm-hmm. they could easily
cover this up.
Yeah, and make the video look like he's the one that killed the other stuntman. So anyway, but yeah, big helicopter chase. He's on the helicopter. They have the recording. He's like swinging up and fighting with them, and Gale's fighting, and it's just like this big mess. Can't hold the helicopter steady type thing. And yeah, he eventually gets the stuff. He jumps off the helicopter.
Also, what's the last line he says to her, where like she puts the gun to him and he's like, you got no more bullets, Gale.
Yeah, right.
Just
yeah.
like drops off middle finger to
that
him.
That was funny. Yeah. And
it's funny because like they show that scene in the trailer. The trailer is good. I hated the trailer for this movie.
Oh, really?
Because they kept using You Give Love a Bad Name for Bon Jovi.
Oh, right.
But they kept just using the shot to the heart as like a punchline. Oh, rim shot. I mean, I remember that. Just the shot to the heart. They just do that like 5 or 6 times in the trailer.
Yeah,
and it was like, but so many of the clips they show, when they show him out of context and you know he's a stuntman, like when they show the scene of him like falling off the helicopter and like flipping him off. And I was like, but you're a stuntman. Like, you just ruined their shot. Like,
so, yeah.
Right? Like, you know, like, because I'm thinking in the trailer that this is all the stuff he does during the filming of the movie. Yeah. And I was just like, but then no stuntman, nobody would want to hire this guy.
Because he's a bad boy stuntman. Yeah, he doesn't play by the rules.
Dumb. And so, but in context, it obviously makes sense.
It was very funny when he gets the thing, because, yeah, she's out of bullets, and he jumps off, and Winston Duke and his crew, they get the crash pad. They've got it all, like, rolled up and loaded on a truck, and it inflates, and they're dragging it behind the helicopter, and it's just such a fun thing to watch happen because there's so much going on. I mean, you've got the fight in the helicopter. You have Emily Blunt chasing them down with the crane. You have the stunt team who's been setting off all these pyrotechnics, dragging the crash pad, and it all has to line up. Like, it was just fun.
Like an old Keystone Cops gag of, where they would run around, like, as firemen trying to move the net they're going to catch him in.
But this is the stuff when we talk about like big dumb popcorn movies, like I just want fun original stuff, and the chase scenes and the effects and everything were really enjoyable in this movie, and I thought they did some really unique stuff because we don't generally see a movie within a movie, so it kept it interesting, the fact that they're on set and there's cameras around. I also thought it was funny for filming this movie that since they're on a film set, they probably didn't really have to hide the cameras and stuff.
I was thinking about that at the beginning with the whole with the first stunt where he's driving and everything. I was like, oh, I'm sure they don't, you know, you got Panavision reel in the background.
Yeah,
how
flexible is that to be able to film all these scenes and not worry about, oh, hide the camera,
right?
You know, because it's like you don't have to when you're on a film set. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
One of the things I really liked is when they were filming an action scene and they'd show you it as it would look in the movie.
That was clever.
And then they'd cut to the same moment of
being filmed, and
it looks so dumb.
A big speech.
Yeah.
Tom Ryder gives a big speech and they show him doing his like Independence Day type speech on film, and then they cut to,
and there's like a boom mic guy just kneeling down like right next to him.
And it looks so weak, but it's funny because that's really what it would be like on set, right? Like no music, no, you know, special filters on the lenses or anything. You're just watching someone perform, and for people that work on film sets, that has to be so funny to watch the difference, because they're probably like, that's what I see every day, and until it gets into editing,
so drab.
You just don't know
what
it's gonna look
kind of dumb.
Right. And like, hats off to actors and the people behind the scenes, because they have to have the vision, they have to have the imagination. That's why directors are so important. They have to visualize what this is going to be like and say, hey, I know this might seem silly now, I know this might not make sense, but stand there and do this, because they have the vision of, if it all works out, right, if it ends up working in the end, of this is going to come together. So I did think that was funny. The only thing that I thought was kind of weak was when they did the fight scene, that they're fighting aliens or something, and it's one of the early times they do it with Ryan Gosling, and it was supposed to be like cool because he's like flipping guns around and shooting or whatever. I was like, this isn't maybe as cool as they think it looks. Like, it was supposed to look cool in the movie world, but I'm like, I liked like the real world action stuff a lot better. But funny enough, when they end up making the actual movie at the premiere at the end, I was like, that looked pretty cool. And maybe because it's who it is that's doing it, but I'm like, that actually looked fun.
Oh, and well, that reveal as well.
That's how I too. Was anyone spoiled that Jason Momoa was in this? I had no idea.
I
thought that was great.
Because,
and like, my son, again, you know, he's a teenager and he just thought that was so hilarious. And he's like, what?
Rachel, you know, and my girlfriend and I both looked at each other like, what the hell? Like,
I love cameos, and hats off to them for not spoiling it to try to get that star power. You know, like when
you could easily just say, you know, just to drive ticket sales.
Exactly,
or
right? Yeah. And so hats off, because most movies would have spoiled it.
Yeah.
Right? And that was so fun to see this reveal. But anyway, they get the thing.
They would have Abigailed it.
Yeah, right. Because but that's a whole nother star that, like, the whole point of getting a star like that is for the fun and the reveal of it. And then it's like, well, why not use that to sell tickets? And kudos to them for not doing it. But anyway, they've got the audio recording, so like everybody wins at the end of the day. We find out in, like, well, I guess this is after the credits. Isn't the post credit scene? Is it the actual people from the TV show?
Yeah.
Bust him. And that was kind of a funny scene, because they're dressed as cops and they show up, and then like I think it's Tom Wright or someone is like, you're not even really cops, you're just, but
that's what I think did it for me, because that also seeing Lee Majors, but like, I was like, this seems like something that it seems like
it was a wink
illusion or something.
Yeah, you know, if you didn't know, it was based on a movie, and then you saw that because you're like, who would these random characters
and be? A lot of the TV shows that are later made into films, I mean, like, this is so long ago, but what, like 20 years ago, Starsky and Hutch with Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson, at the very end you get David Soul and you get the car and everything, and you're like, oh, you know, if you didn't know that, that's who
for
that
sure
is.
It was,
I did spend the movie like, I was glad they didn't shoehorn in Lee Majors, but I was also kind of like, but it's also kind of douchey that you didn't. You know what I mean? So when they pop up at the end, I was like, okay,
I like that. It's
the
right
way to do that.
I like that it's a post credit tag.
Yes,
because it you know, when they do the winky at the camera stuff, it can be kind of frustrating thrown in because it's so distracting. And I like that they made it a post credit, because they still got to pay tribute and people were still there because they watched all the stunt reel stuff. But anyway, before the credits roll, we see the premiere of the movie, and at first I thought they were going to put Colt in the movie, right? Like, don't you think they're kind of setting up, like, obviously Tom Ryder's not going to be involved anymore, he's a murderer,
he's a criminal,
so I thought it was gonna be like, and starring in his in his debut, Colt Seavers as whatever. But like, when you see the reveal, you get it, because you're like, he doesn't have the star power.
I was glad they didn't, right? That would be dumb.
But it's also a movie, so I thought that it would just be a fun thing that he would now get his big break, because they talk about in this movie how stuntman, like, the whole purpose of this movie is to be like, the stuntmen are the people that make these movies, like, they're giving you all the biggest, coolest parts, and this is to pay tribute to them and their work. So I thought it would be kind of a fitting ending for the stuntman to be promoted to actor. But at the end of the day, they put someone in that is going to sell tickets, and it's Jason Momoa. And it's hilarious. They got him to come in and film this one scene in this fake movie of him fighting the aliens, and it does look really badass. He's got like two guns, and he's hitting people and crossing them over and shooting them and doing the corny lines and everything. It was such a... It just looked like he was having fun, and I thought he was perfect for that kind of a role.
For sure.
So it was really good. So, like, they're together now, you know, happily ever after for all of them.
And that song that they play over the end credits as they're showing you how they did this, that's the theme song to the TV show.
Okay,
oh,
nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah,
which was sung by Lee Majors.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Ballad of the Unknown Stuntman.
Okay. Going back to David Soul, what 70s action TV show actor did not have a music career as well,
I know,
at
right?
the same time? Sheesh.
I heard a funny interview with Glenn Larson about he had the idea for the show, but he didn't have a script. He didn't have anything else, but they got the theme song first, and that's what they took to pitch it, and they said that it was like a slam dunk. Once they heard that theme song, before they had anything written,
we will write something
greenlit.
This.
Yeah.
Well, wow. I mean, you know, this show came out in what, 81?
81,
you said?
Yeah.
So 79 is the debut of Dukes of Hazzard, which has its own theme song that, like, that gives you the
basically
premise
makes
of the show.
The show.
Yeah. And this is definitely the era of when, like, TV at this point in time would do a lot of, like, if they couldn't license the movie to make it a TV show, they would just make a knockoff.
Yeah.
Right? So you would get, you know, I mean, Dukes of Hazzard is a Smokey the Bandit knockoff. Mm-hmm. And don't at me. I know that there's a movie called Moon Runners, which is really kind of a precursor to Dukes of Hazzard. But
I didn't know, actually.
But really what got that show greenlit was the existence and success of Smokey and the Bandit, right? And then, and same with Fall Guy. It's a Smokey and the Bandit guy, and that's where you get things like Chips. You get all these kind of shows like that.
Or just, like, a bit more car heavy, like, going, and again, Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Like, that was the genesis of that show.
Yeah, but like when Raiders of the Lost Ark came out, you got what, Tales of the Golden Monkey, and there was another like Raiders knockoff. Mm. And then and I'm trying to think of what else. And like when Animal House was big, each network had its own sitcom based around a fraternity. One was called Delta House, which was the official Animal House spinoff. Mm. I think Flounder was in it. But like that was the thing. Like, yeah. I mean, even Happy Days was American Graffiti. Like, American Graffiti's popular. Let's make a TV show version of it, right? So you would see that.
Wasn't it a spinoff of?
It was a spinoff of Love American Style.
Love American Style. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a one of the segments. Yeah. In Love American Style.
I was going to say, I'm trying to remember if it wasn't Good Times. I was thinking about like Cooley High. Like after that ended up. What's Happening? Yes, yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah.
But that's another example.
Yeah. Like it's not officially a spinoff or an adaptation, but it's like.
Networks have always wanted to make their own.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, we see it with movies all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For the first to the volcano movie, the first to the tornado movie. It's like they know there's going to be a hot property or something people like. Let's make our version and cash
when
in.
When Airwolf was a hit, every network had a helicopter show.
Yeah.
Wow.
ABC had Airwolf, and then you had Riptide, and there was another one. I'm blanking on it, but every network ended up with a show based around a helicopter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is a fun movie, and man, it's so impressive. I want to go back and watch it when it comes out and just like watch all the stunts again, knowing that they're real, because I was trying to guess, and now knowing that most of it was done practically, I just want to watch how it ended up in the movie and see, you know, what they
for
did
me
with
it's
it.
Still probably that garbage truck scene. I don't know
that's
what
that's a great
about,
chase
like
no,
when
that,
he's yeah. It's almost Marty McFly-ish when he's on that I don't know what it is, it just comes down and it's like scraping against the ground and you just see all the fire and everything behind it, and it's very Marty on the hoverboard to me, and you know it's really cool. It's just a classic kind of cat and mouse type deal.
It was fun. The movie's a lot of fun, and I think that third act just really solidified it for me as a good time, because I had such a blast with the movie within a movie. All the stunts were great
for sure. Oh, and real quick, Airwolf was the knockoff. Blue Thunder was the movie.
Okay. Oh,
and then Blue Thunder was a TV show. Blue Thunder I think was on ABC, and then I think Riptide was CBS and Airwolf was NBC.
And this was all like simultaneous, like around the same time.
Yeah. Wow. Like all with, I mean, I think they were all in the same season, maybe even like it was just like, oh, Blue Thunder was a hit. Well, let's get a show with cops and a helicopter.
Profit off of this, too.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, that's it for this one. I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And Orlandez, where can they find you?
I am on Instagram at just under Orlandez. And also Friday nights on 88.1 KDHX. My show is Night Groove, 7 until 9 p.m.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, sunny and ski, clear the gorge.
Get ready for a spoiler. Don't say it twice, 'cause we already warned ya. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.